Hey guys, it's your boy Pat, coming back at you with the next episode of the Hollow Down Cigar Lounge podcast. Coming back to the humble abode once again of Woots.
Fueled on nicotine and hate, stacking bodies, hating liberals.
As always. I knew the first part was coming. The second half. So, love coming up here. Like I said, I'd probably say every single time because... dreams and nightmares and wishes all in one place up here. So
this is it.
So we are getting into better weather, getting into holiday season coming up. We're not there yet, but we're getting close enough to talk about it. You know, because holidays is either a great time of dreams or a headache and nightmares. You got one or the other. So
that's me.
Either way, it's a interesting time of year.
Tragedy waiting to happen.
Yeah, well, that's just daily life for some people. You know,
just praying for the sweet arms of death to release me.
Good luck with that. So, so anyway, we're gonna go ahead and we got some stuff to talk about. So, very very casual, very ad lib type of show today, and that is perfectly freaking cool. But we gonna go ahead and get this puppy lit and smoked and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. So,
the one that we are smoking today is I say Raymond Bueso. I think it's Ramon Bueso. I've heard about three proper pronunciations, but this one is a Genesis Oscuro. Again, cameras are back with this setup, so I'll put a picture up there for you to see it. There are a couple different cigars in this line that I like and I smoke routinely, but I haven't ever stopped and reviewed it, so seems like a good time. So I still do a V-cut on most things unless it's got a short cap. And get a good torch on this puppy, light it up.
Smooth.
Very smooth start. You can tell a lot about how a cigar is going to be on how that first pull is. A little bit of wind again today, so hopefully it doesn't catch us. Caught me last time recording up here. So they, Well, you know what? I'm not gonna change my routine. I'm gonna read what Cigars International has to say about it, and then do like always, and I'll see if we match up with it or not. Because they've got a couple other lines like the that are in the Genesis line. There's one that's the Habano. There's the Project. Project is one that I also smoke a lot. They're very similar, just slightly different.
A lot of smoking going on in the Projects.
A lot of smoking going on in the Projects.
Crack, weed, you name it.
So this one is what they consider the darker side, and it's a little bit more of a full flavor than some of the others. So this one says that it comes wearing a thick and dark Connecticut broadleaf wrapper. It's dripped with oils, which you can definitely smell before you light it up. It's definitely an oily wrapper. Profile is medium to full-bodied, remains smooth, has tons of espresso, little earthiness, some dark chocolate, peppery finish, and more of an oaky aroma, but not as much of an oaky flavor on the tongue. And I definitely, of course, pepper is one of the easiest things to taste for anybody. Yeah. Definitely taste that one. But I can, sometimes I have to be drinking a coffee to get the espresso and coffee notes out, but I can actually taste it.
I can taste it on this one.
Yeah,
I can taste it on this
one.
It's got a bite. Perfect.
It does.
Got a bite to it.
But it's not...
it's not overbearing where I don't like it.
Right.
But it's got a good, subtle bite. But yeah, I can taste the espresso. I can definitely taste the pepper.
Definitely taste pepper. And I've had some that we call pepper bombs that have good flavor, but they're just way too bitter, stout. Too strong, too stout. Yeah. This one's on the line for me, but it's still a good profile for me.
Yeah, if you like a strong cigar, this would be the one for you.
Yeah.
You know.
No sweet aroma, no sweet tip, no infusion whatsoever. This is just solid, bold flavor. So since I know you tend to like more sweeter tip, is this too much for you? Or is this still acceptable on a personal level?
It's on the border.
On the border?
Yeah, it's okay. On the border. It's not... I can smoke this. Okay. I can enjoy it. But it's right a little more, and I'd be like, nah, because me, I'm a caring, sweet individual. So that's me.
Oh my God, with the lies already.
Yeah, I'm all about love and spreading the love and cheering shit like that. If I was a Care Bear, I'd be don't give a fuck bear. That's me.
I don't know if I've ever heard anybody compare not giving a fuck to a Care Bear.
That's right. That's me. It's
a complete oxymoron of a Care Bear.
Don't give a fuck don't, bear.
Don't give a fuck. Is that what was it? That's the third cousins. You had the Care Bears and the Care Cousins and the Don't Give a Fuck Bears.
That's it. Yeah, hell.
Oh my God.
Getting later in the year, so you know what time it is. It's time for the Democrats to put COVID back on us. It's an election year, so let's see the dumb fuckery unfold before us.
And I tell you, you know, it's not a political show, but we're blunt, we're honest, and sometimes a little too much. So whatever. He's a lot more forward than I am, but I'll even say this. I know we're not a political show, but what doesn't matter what side you're on. Some shit happens every 4 years. It doesn't matter. I don't care what your opinion is. You can't deny that. So
it's not a conspiracy theorist if the shit comes true.
You know, somebody's going to do some dumb shit every year because it's election year. It's just a matter of waiting to watch a show and see what it is this time.
Watching the U.S. government is like watching WWE. We all know it's rigged. We all know it's fake. But it's a cool storyline to watch.
And you know? Once every 20 years, they let a real blood match happen to say it's not fake.
Exactly.
And then you go back to it.
Then you got somebody, you know, would accidentally die in the ring, or Trump gets elected, and you're like, holy shit, look at this. My God, we got us a ringer coming in. You know,
something's got to happen.
Something's going to fuck everything up.
Oh, my goodness. So, we'll see. And, you know, not going to... A little too early to get into what's going to happen, but, you know, I don't know. Too many variables this year. At least last year, we kind of knew what the variables were. This year, God, I don't freaking know.
We're all going to die.
So, but since we are on YouTube, weather is fantastic. We're starting to get into late of the year. So, it's a light beer day. So, since we are on a public channel, I will say this. There will be no links to any of the products, whether the cigars or the alcohol we're drinking. Do not support any underage drinking of that sort. So if you're watching this, it is your own discretion. Make sure you're at the proper age in your area to partake in any of the things you see on the show. This is for personal enjoyment, not sponsored by anything on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Our sponsor is with Dissident Cigars and partner with Cigars for Warriors. This is personal view. This is personal refreshment. So just throwing that out there. So
that's another, for
the YouTube gods that know we're not trying to sell stuff.
Yeah, another hazard warning. If you're a snowflake or easily butthurt, I would highly recommend changing the channel.
Yeah, come back next episode. If he's not here, you might have a more pleasant time.
Exactly.
So, one of the reasons, real talk, I do like having different people on the show. I'm pretty much the same. I can ramble about God knows anything. But I have my opinions, but in my conversation, I'm real middle of the road. I have guys like you that's just like, fuck it, this is who I am. And I got some other peak guys who are just like, they have their opinions, but they're real chill on air. So you get different styles. So, yeah. You know, I like having the different type of feel, you know?
I just don't give a fuck. I hate people and, you know.
But you consistently hate people.
Yeah, I'm not prejudiced. I hate everybody equally. I mean, I really do. I mean, people are fucking worthless.
And if you think he's just kicking up, he did say that on previous episodes. Yeah. He's very consistent. Though.
Yeah, I hate Whitey. Don't trust Whitey.
Just hate. Period.
Period. Period.
You don't need to know what he hates. He just hates it is.
Yeah, I mean, you know. But, you know, I mean, hell, this is a man show. But, I mean, you know, women like cigars, too. But, I mean, hey, we smoke cigars, we drink beer, we talk about shit, we bitch about things. It's what guys do.
Yeah. I did actually almost had a female on the show, and she was like, she would have fit right in because of who it was. And then she's just like, nah, I just can't be on the camera. I was like, you're like one of the boys.
Yeah.
Like, you would fit in great. But, you know, maybe sometime down the road.
Well, you know, I don't know. It's just something about cigars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like a testosterone booster.
You know? You know, it's always been known as the brotherhood. We coined it. Well, I don't know if we coined it, but we've said on the show, it's friendship therapy. It does something for the soul to just kind of chill. Smoke a cigar with some friends. You know, drink a little something if you got it. It's just open for conversation. You never know what we're going to talk about. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But it's just good to chill and relax with your homies, you know?
It is. It's good. I mean, you know, I like laughing and cutting up and joking and things like that. But, you know, I mean, life gets in the damn way of a whole lot of fun. So does spilling beer. And,
Falling for the visuals.
That is a pretty cool visual. But, you know, I mean, we spend every waking minute of our lives working and running the rat race. And it's gotten to the point nowadays where you just don't take time to just kick back and relax. And I'm one of the world's worst. I am. I mean, I'm always working or thinking of work or thinking of the next dollar to be made or the next way I can make a dollar. And it's just...
Because the world will hinder if you don't. You kind of get stuck in that rut doing it.
Yeah, and it's very... I mean, like days like today when you come up and, you know, we hang out and talk about anything under the damn sun... It's relaxing. You know, it relaxes me. It brings me down, you know.
And y'all get to see, like, a little part of it, because while we're setting up the cameras, while we're setting up the microphone, we're already sitting here bullshitting about stuff. When we cut the cameras off, most of the time, we're not going to just put this out. We're going to keep smoking it and keep talking and keep bullshitting, you know. So, like we've said multiple times, this is for fun, but it gives us the avenue and excuse to hang out and talk. It doesn't mean we only, you know, do this when the cameras are. Sometimes it works out that way because of life schedules, but it's just an excuse to chill and talk about some shit. Sometimes it don't even freaking matter.
Yeah, most of the time.
Most of the time it doesn't freaking matter.
99% of the time it don't matter for shit. I mean,
Lord knows, outside of our first three episodes, we're now, what, 10, 11, 12, I don't even know what number we're on, of y'all just listening to me and several of my homies just get in front of a camera, smoke a cigar, and ramble about most of the time dumb shit. And that's okay. But we are getting into holiday season. Not there yet, but we're coming up on it. So, you know, it's the time we most people start talking about, you know, hobbies and vacations and, you know, winter trips and whatever. And, of course, you know, I'm not...
Time of year, I make sure my life insurance is paid up for
our
Christmas vacations.
We need to start. We kind of talked about this last year, and it didn't happen because, you know, a lot of things changed on... But...
I did send you that post from the Smokies, didn't I?
You did.
Yeah, I did.
Now, okay. I included it in that video, and we're going to have to make that an annual tradition to get some little clip because... It was the New Year's one, I think I put that on, because it was right after, because you went on...
I don't remember. Yeah, well, we stayed...
Because you went over Christmas, didn't you?
Yeah. We stayed like 18, 19 days up there.
So, no, because it wasn't New Year's, because I filmed with you on New Year's. It was the Christmas episode, because me and Johnny Bravo did it.
Yeah.
And you sent us that clip, and I included it. So, you were still on the show, even though you're in the mountains.
Yeah.
So, but, it'd be fun to do, and we talked about it, didn't get to do it as... when you come back, is maybe try to do that next episode, get with you so you can tell us directly all the dumb shit. And if you don't know what we're talking about, you ever seen the Griswolds? This man lives it every year. And
every year. Someone
finally thought last year it was going to be smooth because all the plans worked out. The weather was looking good. And then it just said, well, fuck you.
Went from sugar to shit overnight.
Real quick. So, unfortunately, his tradition of having some sort of something happen every year continued.
Yep. Snowed in, no power, no water. It was.
Well, that's what you get for the plans actually going efficiently.
Yeah.
There's always some hiccup, and it was going perfectly.
Well, and it started out fucked up, because we got there, and we had to wait on them to clean the cabin.
Oh,
so,
that's
after
right.
I drove, like... 12, 13 hours.
They didn't even have it ready for you.
Yeah, I had to go park in a parking lot somewhere and sleep in the back of the Tahoe until they had it ready.
Forgot about that part.
So, yeah, it started off from Jump Street, just fucked up.
So he has a tendency to create a very hectic, almost tragic vacation every winter. So
yeah, we post on Facebook the Griswold vacation, the Christmas vacation, and people actually follow along every year just to see our tragedy. It's horrible.
It's amazing. We're not amazing while he's living in it, but the stories that unfortunately he unfolds later are,
thanks to the VA and good crazy meds, I'm able to function pretty well through the holidays.
As long as you got to.
That, and there's a lot of wineries up there that help out a lot. Wineries and moonshine distilleries and all that. That really helps out. Come to think about it, that may be why some bitches are there. Because people's vacations get snowed in with no power. You got to booze.
Every industry in the world starts from a basic need.
Yeah.
There's a lot of alcohol being made there. At some point, that need was realized.
You ain't lying. I didn't think about that. Oh, man.
But I do want to. It's on my bucket list. I do want to. Of course, I know there's a big one in Kentucky where you can hit all of the distilleries. But, and I have to remember where. You might actually know better. But I remember when I was working fishing tournaments, we ended up in Tennessee, and one of the hotels we stayed at, and I have to go back and remember where. I remember one of the hotels we stayed at had a case over here of like 12 different liquors, just a bottle from each company. And so I inquired, and she was like, yeah, we're within a 30-minute radius of all of these distilleries.
Huh.
But it threw me off because obviously you always hear Tennessee whiskey. Yeah. Obviously it's there, but I didn't realize it was that much.
Oh, dude.
At some point I want to go back and actually like make a trip and actually tour these places, but
it's crazy. And all the moonshine distilleries, they're everywhere. You got the Old Smoky, which is pretty commercialized, and then you got Tennessee Shine Company, and that's just right there in Pigeon Forge. And then I don't know how many wineries. It's unreal how many wineries.
At that, I did not realize those were that many wineries up there.
Oh, dude,
I thought it was a lot more like whiskey and bourbon related.
Oh, dude, it's wineries every freaking where, and they're good. They're good wine. I mean, I got a soft spot for muscadine wine. I will give up government secrets for good muscadine wine. That shit's just on. My wife, she doesn't like it. She likes, you know, the other stuff.
Right.
But yeah, they're just unreal.
I never realized that because I'm not a huge wine, like I'm specific. And I think you, unofficially, not on the job, tried to get me try some at some point. And
that was Shine.
Oh no, I remember the Shine.
Yeah, that was Shine.
But there was some time you let me try like a sip of that, and I was completely shocked that I actually liked it.
Yeah,
I was like, there's no way, it's wine. I'm not gonna like this shit. And here, I forget about it, but mm-hmm. I remember, you know, every time you talk about it, I remember that I liked it. But you know, there's a never know what you're gonna need for the winter, and you know, for holiday season, sometimes you just need a lot of alcohol. So.
You know, there's a guy I've been watching on TikTok, and I can't think of his name. Dude was in prison, and his big thing is make pedophiles afraid again. And that's his brand of hats and everything.
I can get behind that.
Dude is awesome. We need to get in touch with him, and because he would fit in pretty good with this. I mean, he's tatted up. He's, you know, but now he does like motivational speaking and all this stuff.
That's cool.
Turned his life around and everything like that. It's pretty cool.
I'm all about stuff like that. Self-betterment, self-reflection. I mean, we might talk some nasty shit on this show from time to time, but real talk like that, we're definitely both about that stuff. Oh, yeah,
I need to reach out to him. Or you reach out to him. Yeah, it's your show.
We can both reach out to him. You never know.
I might
be the one that produces it, but it's definitely our show. I mean, this whole group of friends, the reason I have all y'all come in different shows, it's all of us, because it takes all of us to do something like this and continue it. So.
And he pays me because I don't like him.
Hey, don't get the secrets, man. Everybody's going to want money. You're expensive. It's all on paper.
Damn it.
No.
I'm just arm candy for the show.
Whatever works. you know, hey, you got to put good content out somehow, so you never know. Anyway, change the subject. Can't let go of my secrets this early. So does it feel like the smoke gets smoother for you, or is it just me?
No, it did. It's not as strong as it was at first. I don't know. It kind of does the opposite of what a cigar normally does. It gets stronger as you get down.
I noticed that. I wondered if it was just me getting used to it, or if you observed it too.
Yeah.
Because you still get the flavors, but as you...
It's not... It doesn't...
You got past that first third. Yeah, the bite goes away.
Weird.
So, I know we've talked about this a little bit before. It's about, you know, vacations and hobbies and all sort of things like that. As much as I like land vacations, I definitely like cruising. It's probably my favorite vacation because you have so many options. Like, I get to mix water with port stops, with scuba diving. Love scuba diving. In fact, we're going on a cruise in December. Cozumel, Honduras, and Costa Maya, I think, again. But weather permitting, as long as nothing gets destroyed or trashed, Cozumel and Honduras, going to go take two dives in each area again. So, you've never been on a cruise, right? I think we talked about it.
No, never have. I've been to South America a lot when I was in the Army, but...
Right.
Yeah, they were shithole countries and had no desire to go back, but...
It's interesting going on cruises because, like, for example, I would love at some point to take, like, 3, 4, 5 days a week specifically to go into Curacao. I would have never known that without a cruise. Huh. So I kind of also get to use cruises to, like, these little drops of, you know, learning places. And that was a cruise went several years ago out of Florida. Went to Grand Turk, went to the Dominican, got to play with monkeys and go look at the coffee and chocolate where they come from. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then went down to Aruba and Curacao, scuba dove in Aruba. Gorgeous water. It's about as clean as your pool right there, but there's a video I got on YouTube. Sometimes I'll take my GoPro and film it. There's a wreck that we are going over, and I'm not advanced certified yet, so like I can only go so far. There's a wreck that we passed over that's 60-70 feet down. We're like 23 feet and it looks like I can touch it. Like the water is just so clear. It was rather deceiving, and even on the video it looks like it's right there. But then Curacao, beside having probably my favorite cigar lounge I've ever seen, I will walk straight to it. It's just a very colorful, very historic city. You know, those are the Dutch islands. They've got a fort over there that still has an old school cannonball in the side that they decided not to take out because it didn't break the building. It just stuck in the stucco.
Oh, that's cool.
It's very historical. It's got, I forget the right terminology, but there's a bridge that goes from one side of the river feed to the other. It's actually in Guinness. I think it's worded like the longest movable bridge, something like that. So periodically the ships need to come through. If you're on the bridge, you'll hear it's like a bell or a ringing or something. If you're on the bridge, you're fine.
Yeah.
Just know that the bridge is about to move.
Yeah.
But it literally swings.
Oh yeah.
And gets out of the way, the whole freaking bridge. It's the coolest shit.
Huh.
But there's a lot of history, a lot of food, a lot of good stuff. But I only knew about that from a cruise.
Huh.
Never knew about it. In fact, I didn't even know how to pronounce it properly. I'd always grown up saying Caraco. Well, the blue liquor came from there. That's why it's got that name. And she corrected us like we were going to some back cave or something. And she corrected us that it's Curacao.
Huh.
Named after the country. I'd never known that.
Didn't know that either.
So, blue Curacao is... I always thought of Caraco. Or Curacao. I can't even say it the wrong way anymore. Whatever I said, but I know I had a hard season there.
We're mainly mountain people. We always go to the mountains. Now, the wife took the daughters, the my two semen demons. Took them down to the beach.
Demons.
That's, I don't have kids. They're bad, man. But anyway, they...
biological adoptees.
Yeah. Yeah, they went to the beach this year and had a good time. Took a little girl's trip down there.
Which beach did they go to?
I don't know. I stay here. I don't know.
No, that's fair.
Yeah. No, they went down there and...
too many people for you or what?
That, yeah.
Or just not like a beach person?
Just not a beach. Now, when I was young and single, yeah, I went to the beach. But I'm old and married. I have no desire to go to the fucking beach now. That's just a good way to get the shit slapped out of you. You know, I don't do it. But, you know, I mean, I just not... I'd rather go to the mountains and be a hermit and stay the hell out of there. And yeah, I don't like people.
Right. So she's off camera, so I won't say her name, but she's over there hanging out with us watching. And she, you know, first time she got to meet you, I've talked about you. And when she pulled up in the driveway, she's like, I expected him to be a lot more secluded than this. And I was like, his other properties are, don't worry. He's got a place on the grid that you will not find it without the very specific coordinates. It's like, yeah, he's got that too. Don't worry.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is my government residence here.
Right. This is the one on paper.
Yeah, this is the one on paper. This is the one I put up to be a productive member of society.
Right. It looked like you're contributing somehow.
Yeah, yeah. No shit. But yeah, I would much rather be in a 12x12 lean-to dugout or a dugout in the side of a mountain somewhere or living off the land than here any day of the week.
Right. See, I'm the opposite because I didn't grow up appreciating that. You know, my dad being a preacher, we moved a few times, but we were always in the city. So I wasn't always in a big city, but I was always in the city.
Yeah.
So that's what I grew up. I love nature. I love respecting nature. But because I grew up that way, It's like I like going to have my relaxation period and then going back. But I respect and understand it because when I get out there for those stretches, super peaceful.
Oh, yeah.
Super peaceful.
Yeah, I'm one of those people. I'm perfectly happy being alone. I mean, I can be like that, you know, because I mean, I guess 10 years of my life, I was in the Army.
Right.
Go, go, go. You're around people 24/7. I mean, you're never alone.
Never alone.
You know, and it's fast paced and all this. And now I'm just like, I'm cool with it. I'm good. You know, I mean, like when my wife and kids, don't get me wrong, I love my wife and kids, but when they go on vacation, that's my vacation too.
Right.
I'm like, ah.
Well, there's something to be said. And some, I don't know if we're going to go philosophers or psychiatrists or whatever, counselors. But there's something to be said about having your own space. Like, you can love somebody, want to be with them.
Oh, yeah.
But you still need your personal time to decompress, no matter who you're talking about.
Oh,
so
fuck yeah.
It's always good for you and your soul, too, to just kind of have your beach and your moments.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, some of the happiest moments I've ever had is up there on the homestead with just me and my donkey. You know, I mean, just chilling the fuck out. You know, just... nothing going on. I got solar power on the roof, watching old TV shows, you know, just
yeah, because if I remember right, I said it, but you're like legit off the grid up there, right?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Completely self-sustained.
Completely. Yep. Solar wells, solar power, air, cattle, everything.
Can't rely on nothing.
Yeah, it's got a guard donkey. I mean, fruit trees, muscadine vines, predator-proof chicken coop. I mean, it's
everything
you need to... food plots, deer stands, and the food plots double. You can eat the food, or the deer eat the food. I mean, yeah, I got hog traps with wild hogs everywhere, so it's completely self-sustainable. Nice. Yeah, yeah. That way, when the revolution comes, fuck everybody.
You know where to go. You're gonna be fine.
I'm good. Yeah, but now our goal now. I mean, we bought some land up in the Smoky Mountains, and that's gonna be our retirement. We got 2 more years. The oldest girl will graduate. The youngest one would move right now. And as soon as the old one graduates, we are gone. We are out of here. We are crazy. But you know, I'll tell you.
I was wondering if you were gonna like make that like a second vacation home or eventually just migrate all the way.
No, we're selling off everything. My wife's store, the house, the rent house, we're selling everything.
Okay.
It's crazy to show you the difference in states and stuff with the VA. I'm 100% disabled. 100% permanent disabled, actually. T- to kind of show you the difference of where we live and where other people live. Nobody wants to live in Louisiana because it's a shithole. So the VA offers buku benefits to vets for 100% because they want us to stay here with our families. North Carolina, where we're planning on moving to, everybody wants to live there. I mean, you've got big bases. You've got Bragg. You've got
you got
the Marines.
You got Lejeune and Johnson up there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, so you've got all this stuff up there. You got Pope Air Force Base is hooked up to Bragg. I mean, yeah, so they're right there. You got Green Ramp, you know. But yeah, they don't offer near the amount for benefits for vets' kids.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah, because everybody wants to live there.
Right.
Like in Louisiana, 100% disabled vets' kids, you can go to college. If you want to go to LSU, which is the highest priced damn college in the state, you can go there for 20 years for free. Totally free. North Carolina and IVET.
Right.
They just get a certain amount like that.
But, yeah, because I guess if there's so many over there, they'd lose money taking care of everybody.
Well, yeah, you know, it is. And it's a big retirement community, you know, between the Navy, the Marines, the Army. I mean, you got that many folks there, and it's a great place to live.
That's like San Diego. When I was stationed out there, I'd always wonder, you go anywhere outside of the county, and it's not a state thing there, it was just the county. You get outside of the county, you start getting those benefits back. For San Diego, you couldn't. There's 8 bases in the county alone. I mean, granted, it's a massive county and space-wise, but they're like, man, if we offered these discounts, we might as well just change the price because 95% of the population is.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you kind of – but if you're moving – if you're living to or moving to in a community that's that way, you know it's that way.
Yeah.
So you're coming into it. But you also have the tendency to have more like-minded people around you that's kind of been through some things or –
yeah,
you know.
Well, anywhere an Army base is, right outside the normal community, right outside the base, it's a shithole. I mean, it's going to be buttloads of strip bars, payday loans, tattoo parlors, Korean dry cleaners, and barbershops. I mean, that's just
got to get your money off the private somehow.
Yeah, yeah, and then cars with 37% interest rate. I mean, those things.
Yeah,
it's always the new private is going to show up with a Camaro with 37% interest, an engagement ring for a stripper that he really loves and she loves him. It's going to happen every time
until she gets the car.
Every time, but she really loves me. Her name really is Candy.
Right?
Shit. You know, Portia is her government name. It really is, Sarge. I tell you.
Right. But she. She only gives lap dances to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dude, I will not say his name, because a couple of my buddies watch this. But I probably spent more time in the Carolinas. Probably spent more time at the strip club getting a certain battle buddy out than I did actually going to the point that I went there so much. And I, you know, the girls, that's their money, is making contact, getting paid. Like,
yeah.
There was one girl that knew, that saw me come up there so much, I would sit at the back table, I would give her $20 so she could show her boss that she got paid, but that way I could sit there and keep an eye on him to get him out. Because they knew that I wasn't going to partake because I had to get him out.
Yeah.
And God, it was atrocious. He'd take money to pay off the person who took money off, to pay off the person who took money off, so he could go get 16 lap dances. And I had to drag him out. Like, dude, you're going too far.
Jesus.
He cleaned up later, like once he got older. But, you know, went through that stupid stage like every other
Jesus.
You know, young private does in any branch. Jesus. Army and the Marines are probably the two dumbest as far as doing.
Oh, I mean, God, yeah.
It's what we do. It is what it is.
Yeah, that's just a, yeah, there, yeah. I'll tell you, man, I used to do crazy shit. I mean, as a NCO even, I would do crazy shit. And, I had this one kid one time, dumb, just country dumb. I mean, he was a good kid. He was just country dumb. You know, first time away from home, come in the Ranger bat, and kid caught crabs. And, oh, yeah, he caught crabs. And you know, it's crazy. He was complaining and crying about it, and I don't know what to do, Sarge. I said, well, hell, son, I was just joking with him. I was like, they're bugs. Fuck, just get some raid.
Oh, God. You know?
Well, I didn't think nothing about it. You know, I was just joking. Probably about 4 or 5 hours later, I get a call. You need to come to the CP. So I go in the CP. Hey, I'm going to call his name.
Right.
You got a private in the hospital. Like, in a fucking hospital? What the hell? So I told me his name. I was like, what the hell? From crabs? How the hell do you get put in the hospital from crabs? This stupid son of a bitch went and sprayed his junk with Raid, man. It blew up like a fucking balloon. He was laid up in the hospital. I mean, dude, it was horrible. It was fucking horrible. Sorry, I can't believe you did this to me. I thought I'd do dick to you, you dumbass.
What do you have?
Dear God, man. So
what was his ASVAB? Like 33?
Oh, dude. Chemical burns, man.
Whatever the minimum inch
was. I was like, you stupid motherfucker, man. After that, I made him carry a potted plant around to replace the oxygen that he used up.
I definitely would. You know, sometimes that's... I know in more modern times that's considered disrespectful, but you know what? I would still do it in that tape. Your bright mind did you think that putting poison on your junk was appropriate?
Dude, there's no way I could function in today's Army. I would be kicked out in the first week. I mean, from the shit that we did. I mean, it's crazy.
They get cell phone time now. They get safe space time now. Even I think the Marines were the last ones to do it because they were trying to hold on to that like heart. And even now they're having to do it. Like every branch has cell phone time, safe space. I got one phone call, and the only reason, and I'm not talking about your, you know, when you first get there, if you don't know, you get that pre-recorded or a predetermined message. Hey, you call that one person. Hey, I made it safe. Here's my address. Hung up, right?
Hell, they gave us a card.
It's like a little card, yeah.
Yeah, they gave us a card that we mailed. And of course, this was back in 1990.
Right.
You know, I mean, it was 100 years ago. Then you mailed a card that said, this is my address, this is my unit, blah, 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 made it safe.
So they gave us one phone call, but when you open the telephone box, there was a card, and the only thing that you could deviate from was saying your name.
Yeah.
And you're reading it, and you were able to hold off long enough for somebody to answer, so you knew who it was to make sure it was actually family. Then you read the card, hang up. I got to make one free phone call only because at the time when graduation came, my grandmother had almost broken her back, was in a wheelchair, and so they allowed me to call her to see if she was coming so they could accommodate at the ceremony. And my senior drill instructor was right there making sure that was the only thing discussed.
Yeah.
I had to get that answer and still hang up.
What we did in the Army, being infantry, you had what's called OSIT, one station unit training. You had your basic NIT. And it's all one thing. I mean, when you're infantry, 13 weeks, 8 weeks of basic, and then they had what's called turning blue. You get your blue cord, your blue disc, and all that. And at that point, you were able to make a phone call.
Mm.
And you made a phone call, and then you went into your AIT, which was pretty much the same fucking thing. I mean,
y'all's is just more of what you already did.
Exactly. Being an infantry, I mean, it's just, yeah, you just do more shit like that. And then after that was went straight to airborne school. For 3 weeks airborne school. Then after that, I went to RIP, Ranger Reduction Program.
Yep.
And then after that, I went to battalion, and then went to Desert Storm, come back. Then I went to Ranger School and graduated from Ranger School. Thank God I didn't recycle. And,
right.
Dude, I was so beat down, dude. I went in, I weighed 185 pounds. 72 days later, back then it was 72 days. 72 days later, I graduated, I weighed right at 115. You know, my mom walked right by me, didn't recognize me. I looked like one of the Jews in a World War II film.
Right.
I mean, shit just sunk in, just fucking beat the fuck down, man.
That's a hard one.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
there's no way I can do it today. I'm 51 fucking years old.
If you're talking basic training only, Marine Corps, unless things have changed, Marine Corps has one of the toughest. However, you get in some of these like specialized infantry programs that like y'all have and like the Navy has. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's weird too. I mean, we had Marines in Ranger School with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they would come to our school and airborne school too. We had a bunch of Marines from
some of the paratroopers would jump up there too and do some stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, Anglico, I think it was. First and third Anglico.
Probably.
They were there. Rooker guys. I mean, they were fucking great. I think at the time the Anglico thing was—I don't know. I didn't get it really. What the hell it meant or any of that stuff.
It's kind of big.
Yeah, it's. I think it was basically airborne infantry, but in the Marine Corps.
Yeah, it's their version of it as best as they could. So, If you know, let us know more specifics. Yeah. Got people I could ask, but...
Yeah, it was kind of like the Marine Corps version of the 82nd Airborne. Something like that, just airborne unit.
Because, you know, we didn't have... they had some specialized ops, but being smaller branch, we don't have the full-blown, you know...
Like well, now, you know, you got... The Marines have MARSOC and all that shit, you know? I mean, it's totally different.
Yeah, MARSOC pretty much took over... all the specialized stuff. Well, yeah. A lot of the specialized stuff.
Yeah. I think, I'm not for sure, I think they're in the special ops community. You have, you know, of course, Delta, Special Forces, Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, Marine MARSOC, all kind of fall under that tier.
That's my understanding, William.
Yeah, that's I guess. I mean, again, I've got out in 2000, so I don't know how the shit's arranged nowadays. I have no fucking clue.
I mean, shit, I've been out 11 years now, and even in that, that's just a decade, and a whole lot has changed. Right? Oh, yeah. So, I mean, much less, you know, just things progress and change and adapt. And
but, you know, everybody thinks that, you know, being on a day-to-day, regular basis in the military, you know, they're screaming at you and you're doing push-ups. It ain't like that. Once you get out of the training, it's not like that. It's like a fucking job. I mean,
go to work.
Well, it is a job. I mean, you go to work at a certain time. Of course, you got to run and do all the crazy shit.
Right.
But after that, you know, hell, you just you do your job, whether it's
I still remember
jumping on a plane and shooting somebody, or working on a helicopter, or working at a hospital, or what the
fuck
ever.
I still remember very specifically. His name was Sergeant Jason Bowie. He's a Louisiana boy, if I remember correctly. I was PFC, so I was still in E2. He's in E5. No, he's not an officer, so he didn't earn the salute and everything, but you still gave respect to the people that ranked you, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I still remember we were outside the flight line, full honors, full respects, whoever you passed. Went in the flight line, threw on our coveralls, except for, like, your captains. You didn't say the, like, I, Sergeant, yes, Sergeant, all this stuff so much because... We're there to freaking work. Mm. So, I still remember the first time he was teaching me on our 7-day inspection, our basic of inspections. Like, you have to check this, you have to log this. And, of course, every time he saw someone, I was like, yes, sir, yes, sergeant, whatever, trying to be respectful. And he turned around and he's like, dude, the next time you say yes, sergeant, while you're in coveralls, I'm going to grab your balls and rip them off. We're here to do a job. We're here to work. I just need you to learn what I'm teaching you, know how to do it proficiently. And he's like, put it this way. Car breaks down, you pull it to the side of the road. Helicopter breaks down, it crashes. Yes. We'll get back to the formalities later. You're here to do your job. Like, okay. He's like, now once we walk on the, because you know, had the shop, or sorry, had the flight line, the hangar, and then all the shops. He's like, once you walk to the other side of that shop and we get back out, we'll go back to it. Once you step inside, we are mechanics, we are working.
Yeah, you gotta do your fucking job.
You gotta do your job.
Saving lives are more important than
right.
That, yeah.
He's like, I need you to know where your respect lies and when to do the formalities, but we just got to work, man.
Yeah, that makes sense. It makes a lot of sense, yeah.
But, you know, things change, things adapt, and so now you got safe spaces with cell phones on Sundays.
Well, they're having such a hard problem right now of retention in the military. Retention and people enlisting, they're just not wanting to. You know, and a lot of it has to do with toxic leadership.
It does.
The dumb shit, you know, that goes on. And today's society is using the military as a social experiment. The fucking military is not a social experiment on who gets accepted into what and being accepting of this one and that one.
Yeah.
The military is to find the bad guys, kill them, and break their shit. That's what the fuck the military is for. It ain't
that's exactly what it's for.
Yeah.
Whether you believe it or not, that's what it's for.
That's the bottom line.
That's how you protect our borders, our nation.
Yeah.
If somebody's going to be the bad guy, that's the military.
Yeah, but they're wanting to use it as this fucking extension of woke society.
That's not the place for it.
Oh, fuck no.
Definitely not
the place. I don't give a fuck. You know, as for gays or whatever, there's always been gays in the military. Who gives a fuck?
Nobody cares.
Nobody gives it. Yeah, really, honest to God, the people in the military don't give a fuck.
Like, I worked
who sucks a dick or not. Before, and they don't really care. I mean,
before we got to you know, I'm not going to start on this whole tangent for time purposes, but before we kind of got into to the more accepting, We already had guys on our unit that were, and do you think we gave a shit? No.
No.
They came up, they worked like everybody else.
Exactly.
They're a person like everybody else.
They, you know.
I don't care. No. Do what you do off hours. I don't care.
Exactly. Exactly. You don't give a fuck. Like, I mean, it ain't that big of a fucking deal like Hollywood makes it out to be and no. all this. It ain't like that shit. I mean, you know, you might razz them a little bit, but fuck, I mean everybody breaks balls. Everybody breaks balls in the Army. In the military, period. I mean, you're going to get fucked with, regardless.
And you do not have to have homosexual tendencies for that to happen to you. It doesn't matter.
No shit. You're going to get fucked
with. You're going to find something.
Yeah.
I mean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. That's, you know.
But, yeah, they, you know, they're blowing shit way out of proportion that it really doesn't need to be. You know, and it's I don't know. It's disgusting
it
to
is.
Me. I mean, just to know that I gave 10 years of my life to something that has been turned into a grade A1 shit show.
And that's why you need alcoholic vacations.
Oh, God.
See, it all comes back full circle somewhere.
There you go. There
you go. You know, but, oh, God. Some you know, speaking of the military.
Finally went out.
I know. I kept,
well, did good. It did it good did the good. Whole time.
Also kept you rambling for like 10 minutes straight. So.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But speaking of military, maybe the next time we come up, I'm not going to tip this off, but your collection you work on, but we could show some stuff.
Yeah, we could do that. Yeah.
Because there's some pretty cool, like, history and insight and just cool as shit with that.
Yeah, yeah. I've gotten into collecting old military stuff. And when I say old military, it goes from World War II back to actual... 46 AD.
Oh, dang, I hadn't gone that far back.
Yeah, 46 AD, the reign of Commodus in Rome.
Yeah.
I have coins of Commodus, and I also have Thor's hammer that came out of a Viking boat grave, a child's ring that came out of the same boat grave, a lot of World War II jewelry from Germany, whether it be the Kriegsmarine ring, actual SS rings with Himmler's signature in it and the soldier who was inducted into the SS and the date they were inducted.
That's just freaking historically badass.
Yeah, I love shit like that.
We're going to have to showcase some of that. I can even put another camera up here so like we can show, because it's small stuff. That would be pretty cool to talk about.
That would be cool. Yeah, I got a lot of helmets from different nations in World War II and bayonets and things like that. I just love old shit.
Yeah. Especially when it's got, I mean, yeah, I could definitely start on a whole conversation with that, because that's...
Well, and, you know, really you got to really be careful, too. I mean, when you buy this stuff, especially on the internet, you need to get it from a credible, a reputable dealer.
So it is what he says it is.
Yeah, yeah. You want to make sure you've got the letters of authenticity mm-hmm. and stuff like that, so it's just not some bullshit. You know?
Right. Definitely have to bring that up.
A lot of it, some of the things I had to wait on a long time to get because I had to go through customs. And it,
Yeah,
buying from museums in Great Britain. Hell, I've got some stuff from the Ukraine, different places like that.
And they're
that.
Definitely going to check all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, and especially coming from the Ukraine right now, it was a major pain in the ass because some of them were like Iron Cross rings that they had somehow got into Ukraine but was actually lost in the Battle of Stalingrad. You know, soldiers killed.
And, right.
And it was pretty interesting. You know, I like collecting the jewelry because that's a personal thing.
Right.
You know, that
belonged
dude,
to somebody.
That dude wore that. It was special to him, you know, regardless of his political views or side.
Mm-hmm.
A soldier respects another soldier.
Facts.
You know, at least he took a fucking side and took a stand. You know, we respect the enemy a lot more than we respect the press.
I mean, that's,
because they just take fucking pictures.
That's where the Marine Corps got devil dogs from.
Yeah.
The enemy gave them that nickname. Yeah. I mean, yeah. You know, respect gets respect. So.
And World War II, the Nazis were the Japanese were convinced that the Marines were recruited from insane asylums and prisons. That's where they were.
I mean, they're probably not wrong.
Yeah, that was a widely used or widely used view right there.
But yeah, we'll have to do some stuff like that on next time I come up here. That'd be pretty cool.
That would be neat. Yeah, we could do a whole episode of that stuff because I got a lot of cool shit like that. Even U.S. military rings from World War II, I got a lot of that stuff. Air Corps, Army service rings. I have a Marine Corps ring from World War II. A bunch of that stuff. And you can find that stuff. And it's sad that people sell that stuff, you know, that was their relatives, but you know, you got these kids nowadays, they don't give a fuck. Yep. You know, they just,
you find it, you protect it, you keep its legacy alive, that's what it is.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck, they just want the money,
you know? But hey,
and shockingly, it's not expensive to buy that stuff. It's really not.
I thought it would be.
No, it's not. I mean, now the stuff that gets expensive is the rare stuff, like SS memorabilia.
I get that.
That's really expensive. And I didn't show you this, but in my office, I have a Japanese battle flag that was captured. It's framed in a 48-star American flag.
Yeah, we're doing a whole episode on this.
Yeah.
I'll take the camera in there, so you got to bring it out here. We'll make it work. But we're
it's really cool.
That's
stuff.
Cool.
Yeah. And the Japanese flag, it was captured by the Marines, and everything. It was pretty cool. I've got that framed.
That's yep, we're doing it.
Yeah,
we'll figure out how to do it. Whether come out here, talk about stuff, and we should, we're gonna do that. That's badass. Because you got more than even I realized you had. So
I got a bunch of shit. I'm a plethora of useless knowledge.
Historical memories, though, man. I mean, that's just cool shit. But
even my wife, she got me a whole set of World War II coins from that year. Are those years.
Right.
And I've got it from the U.S., I got it from Germany, I got it from the Soviet Union, and I got it from Japan. And there's sets of coins from each country for the years of World War II.
That's got some weight behind that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you know, again, that was something personal somebody actually toted.
Right, exactly.
During that. So, yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. But yeah, I like the older stuff. You got the whole Roman Legion body armor.
Right.
Yeah. All
covered in it.
Yeah, the 13th Legion. So I love Rome and anything about Roman legions and all that. You know, so I collect a lot of that kind of
next
stuff.
Next time we come up here, we're going to know what we're going to work on. I like it. But unfortunately, we are at the time we kind of have to wrap up today. You know, it's a good conversation. So we started talking about, you know, vacations and hobbies, and I guess that will definitely play into your hobby stuff. We didn't talk about the hobby side as much, but upcoming winter and holiday season, before we get into it, wish you all to be safe and happy. Let us know what your kind of styles of vacations are. We'd like to know what other people do. You know, as always, send the emails down the link, but it's thehollowdown@gmail.com. I do check that. I do respond to it. We have mentioned things on this show from those emails, so like to hear some feedback from you, what y'all do on your time off as well. But looking forward to it, and got my cruise and your next tragic trip coming up. So
oh yeah, nerve pills and alcohol.
More on that, but yeah, man. Again, thanks for letting us come out. It's always a good time.
Oh yeah.
Be more of this, more of y'all, more of us. But until next time, as always, stay safe and hollow down.
I'm about to piss myself.
Be careful, that'll be in an outtake.